From the pulpit of the Capital City Baptist Church, we present Pulpit Echoes, a ministry of Pastor Adam Thompson and the Capital City Baptist Church. I'd invite you to stay with us because at the end of the broadcast, we'll give you our contact information. And now with a message from the Word of God, here's Pastor Adam Thompson.
Philippians chapter 4, let's stand together. Philippians chapter 4, we have several series of messages going at the same time. And tonight we're going to speak for a few minutes on spiritual leadership. I believe everyone in here should be at a stage in your Christian life where you're showing signs of spiritual leadership. That doesn't mean you're pastoring or you're going to the mission field or you're going into evangelism. That simply means that you are increasing your area of influence and helping others reach their potential spiritually. Philippians 4 verse 9, in those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Then go with me back to chapter 3 and verse 17. Paul says, brethren, be followers together of me. Mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. These to me are some of the most amazing verses in any of the Pauline epistles. Paul wrote 13 books of the Bible. And for a man to stand up and say, follow me as I follow Christ, those things which ye have seen and heard and learned and received from me, do, that's astounding. And leadership, spiritual leadership, is just this right here, setting the example for others to follow. And here's what we've done. You know, there's a balance here. Of course, Christ is a supreme example. We're supposed to set our eyes on God. And if you set your eyes on man, sooner or later, someone's bound to fail you. But we've used that as an excuse for poor behavior. We've used that in our own homes. We've used that in Christian ministry. We use that in the church. Well, you don't need to observe man. You don't need to look at me. Keep your eyes and your focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. But spiritual leadership is saying, I want to live like Christ, be an imitation of Christ, so those around me that I am influencing can follow in my footsteps. And he stressed this point with Titus in Titus 2:7. He said, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works. To Timothy, he said in 1 Timothy 4:12, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou what? We're supposed to be examples. And I know all men are flawed, but here's basically, we have the Mickey Mantle concept. Famous baseball player, died of cancer at 63. Those of you that are baseball fans, everyone knows the Mickey Mantle. But his life was a disaster. He warned his admirers. He said, listen, God gave me ability to play baseball. God gave me everything. But for the kids out there that are listening, don't be like me. Now, that's one thing for an unsaved man without Christ, without God, without the Bible, without a Holy Spirit indwelling him to say that. But as Christians, we ought to be able to say like the Apostle Paul, follow me as I follow the Lord Jesus Christ. And we say this, and too often it's simply a cliche, your walk talks and your talk talks, but your walk talks louder than your talk talks. And that deals with every aspect of life. And once again, here's what we've done. We've really brushed this all aside, and in the name of flawed personalities and defects in our character, we have said, no, no, focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, he is the supreme example. But spiritual leadership is not using that as an excuse to live in such a way, well, you can't follow my example. Why can't we follow a man's example if he is following Christ's example? And I believe we've created a lot of improper behavior. Put people in ministry that shouldn't be in ministry because they have not set or showed themselves a pattern of good works. Go with me to 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 13. Paul said, those things which ye have learned, those things which I taught you and you've put into practice, those things you're supposed to do. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 13. That's called sound doctrine. Look what he says. Hold fast, Paul writing to Timothy, hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. Now let me ask you this. Here's what spiritual leadership is. It's everything that comes out of our mouth ought to be so sound that people could do everything that we say and follow that. Have you ever had your children repeat something that they heard you say and you became embarrassed? What we say, here's Paul to be able to write this, and God put this in his eternal word. He said, Paul set the bar so high, he set such a great example that he could say, those things that you've heard me say, those things that you've learned from my preaching and from my teaching and from my Bible study, those things that I have taught you from house to house and in our churches, those things do. Those things that ye have seen in me do. And I'm really fearful. I'm fearful that we've excused ourselves. And, well, you know, I've made mistakes. Yes, we've all made mistakes. We need to get up from our mistakes. And here's what God doesn't want you to do. He doesn't want you wallowing in the mire of your past and saying, because what I did 20 years ago, 15 years ago, 10 years ago, I can never be a good example. Today ought to be the best spiritual day of your life. You know what will give you purpose? If you wake up every day saying, today is going to be the best spiritual day of my life. I'm going to walk with God like I've never walked with God before. I'm going to pray like I've never prayed before. I'm going to get faithful today in reading the scripture like I've never been faithful before. I'm going to love people today like I've never loved people before. Maybe I didn't set a good example yesterday. Maybe I didn't show my family how to live or what a good father was like in the past. But I have today to set that example, and I'm not going to use my past failures as an excuse to keep failing. Because spiritual leadership, parents, most of us have children. Most of us have a ministry. Most of us have neighbors. Most of us have family. And as soon as you tell someone you're a born-again believer, this world that has never read a Bible knows exactly how a believer is supposed to act. They know there are things you're not supposed to say, places you're not supposed to go, things you're not supposed to do or participate in. They can tell you all about Christian behavior, and they're watching. And trust me, they're happy to let you know when you make the mistake. Here's what Paul said. Look with me in Acts chapter 9. Paul understood from salvation, and God made it clear. Lord Jesus Christ there on the road to Damascus made it very clear to him after salvation that he had a great responsibility in verse 15. But the Lord said unto him, said to Paul, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name. Now here's, we look at this in the context of witness. And I'm not saying that's not part of the context. But folks, bearing his name is more than just preaching the gospel. Bearing his name is 24/7. Bearing his name can be seen in everything that we do. We bear his name. I bear the Thompson name, and that doesn't change by location. It doesn't change because I stepped out of my suit and off the church property. I am a Thompson no matter where I go. I bear that name. I set either a good example or a poor example. And Paul realized, as soon as Saul realized, his name changed to Paul. Saul realized as soon as he got saved, he was chosen by God to bear his name before the Gentiles and the kings and the children of Israel. Look what it says. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Here's what will help us out. When we understand, we're talking about setting the example, being a good Christian example, it starts with us imitating the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one we're supposed to imitate. You're not supposed to imitate man, but we do. And here's the bottom line. It doesn't matter what kind of sermon you hear, what kind of lesson, what kind of doctrine is being taught, no matter who the preacher is. Well, my favorite is Pastor so-and-so, and I really enjoy Brother Willette. I really get something. I'm blessed by Brother Fuller. I enjoy Brother Farley, and everyone has their own taste and their own flavor. But the bottom line is, there's nothing that stirs more passion or leads us to do right like seeing someone that is setting the example. Nothing like praying with someone that obviously has a walk with God. And be careful, because whether or not we want to admit, it doesn't matter what your age is, even those of you that are in Bible college, you have little imitators. It's like the dad that went outside in Dallas and had an ice fall, and in Dallas they're just not used to ice coming down. So he thought, man, I'm going to walk out there and I'm going to slip in the ice and bust my head. My wife's going to walk out there. My children, I don't want an accident to happen. So he looked around, didn't know what to do, grabbed a baseball bat, went out there, started beating on the ice, cracking it and breaking it up and shoveling it off the side so that way it'd keep everyone in the family safe. Walked in, put it down the doorway and began to get dressed and shower and clean up, get ready to go to work. And about 30 minutes later, his son walked in. He walked out and he was getting ready to walk out the door and go to work. And his son said, Daddy, I just broke the ice off the car. And he said, really? Really, son? He said, how did you do that? Oh, Daddy, I did it just like you. I used the bat. You're setting an example. And your kids are going to follow your example, good or bad, in those around us. And this is real spiritual leadership. When we comprehend the magnitude of our responsibility and say, everything that I do now in this day and age, everywhere we go, we leave a digital footprint. And we think it's invisible, but listen, this is not a conspiracy theory. It doesn't matter if it's your phone or GPS in your vehicle. You're tracked everywhere, everything that you do, and spiritually, you're being tracked as well. You're leaving a footprint, and someone is paying attention. Little eyes are noticing the tone, the spirit, the conflict, the frustration, the criticism, the joy, the happiness, the sorrow, the response, the reaction. Dad's a soul winner. Mama tithes. We go to prayer. We're faithful to every service. Kids notice these things, and they're great imitators. And here's one of the most difficult parts of fathering. The older your kids get, the more you see that you have reproduced you, and those defects are magnified. And I've asked my wife, how is it that we didn't produce all of our wonderful characteristics in little packages? Maybe our wonderful characteristics aren't as numerous as we think. Maybe our flaws are a little more pronounced than we want to admit. Go with me to 1 Corinthians 11:1, because here he clearly states and he reiterates in these epistles, the same words. I wouldn't want to say it once, let alone numerous times. 1 Corinthians 11:1, be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Can you say this in your Sunday school class? Children, I want you to pray like I pray. I want you to read your Bible like I read my Bible. I want you to love souls like I love souls. I want you to love people like I love people. I want you to be as giving as I am. That's what Paul was saying. And he had thousands of young converts that were looking at him, dozens of churches that he had planted. These are bold statements. I don't know if there are any other statements in the Pauline epistles that grab my attention more than these ones right here. For me to stand up in this pulpit and say, people, I want you to be the type of Christian that I am. That's setting the bar high for myself. Because I want you to be the best Christians possible. So yes, we say, focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. But if I am following his example, you ought to be able to follow my example. Something strange in Christianity has happened in the past 30 years. Where we have exempted ourselves. You don't hear that being preached. That was not pride, but commitment. You know what Paul was doing when he said this? He was holding himself accountable. He's not standing at the top of the mountain and saying, come up here and try to attain what I have done. He's going down and leading his converts up the mountain. saying, follow me in my footsteps, let's go up. That's what we're supposed to do as parents, that we're supposed to be model. We're supposed to model Christian behavior in our homes. You ought to be able to say this to your children, I want you to be the type of Christian that I am. I want you to have a prayer life like I have. I want you to read your Bible and love this book like I do. I want you to be as diligent in the cause for Christ and as committed to God's work as I am. Now, that will test our commitment and get us to examine our own spiritual lives, because if we're saying, I want you to imitate me, we know we better be worth imitating. I want you to be as spirit-filled as I am. I want you to love the world as little as I do. I want you to be forgiving as I am forgiving, gentle as I am gentle, kind as I am kind. You to follow my example. That's what Paul was saying. That's spiritual leadership. Not leadership. Today's leadership says, do as I say, not as I do. Focus on God, because I'm going to mess up. I'm going the wrong direction. I'm not worthy of following. But I don't have to be, because I'm a flawed human. Well, kids, you know what? You can't follow your daddy's example. Why not? You can't follow your mama's example. My question is, why not? Isn't that the example, the spiritual, the biblical example given here by the Apostle Paul? Go back with me to Philippians. Let's notice quickly just a few areas where Paul was worthy to follow. Read verse 17 of chapter 3 one more time. Brethren, be followers together of me. Mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. Well, that puts staff on notice if I say, I want you to follow Christ as we follow Christ, and you have us, Pastor Bob, Pastor Robert, Pastor Mark, amen, Pastor Jeremy, Brother Gammons, myself, Pastor Ben, you have us for an example to follow. Going to make us a little more cautious tomorrow what we do. Make us a little more careful what we say. Paul, chapter 1, verse 20, set the example. Take a look at Paul's commitment to the cause of Christ. Verse 20, according to my earnest expectation, my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness as always, look what he says, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. My first and foremost purpose is for Christ to be magnified in me. That's called commitment to the cause of Christ. Now let me ask you this. What if everyone were to follow you in the area of commitment to the Lord Jesus? What kind of commitment would we have? How many people would we have Sunday night, Sunday morning, Wednesday night? How many people would we have witnessing throughout the week? How many people would we have participating in discipleship? How much money would this church have to give to missions and missionaries around the world? How many people get saved during the course of a year if people followed your example in your personal commitment? Well, preacher, I've got so much going on. And preacher, I know, but life is busy. And between now the extended trip to work and the time that it takes to get there and the additional traffic that's on the Austin highways and the longer hours now the companies demand and the more time that children need and all these things vying for our time and demanding our attention. But let me ask you this. What about your commitment to Christ? Can you tell anyone, I want you to follow my example in the area of commitment? Or would you have to say, you know what? Right now probably wouldn't be a good idea to follow my example. Because, you know, in the area of giving, I'm kind of hit and miss. You know, when it comes to witness, it's just not happening. It hasn't happened. As a matter of fact, it's been a long time since it happened. And if you're counting on me for anniversary Sunday, you better give it up now. Paul said, take a look at my commitment. Here's my life goal. I want God to be magnified in my life, Christ to be exalted, whether it's life or whether it's death. He's saying this from prison. Now understand, he's not writing a prayer letter right after a major revival and thousands of converts have come to Christ. He is writing this knowing that he soon is going to lose his head. And he's saying, you can follow my example. I'm willing to die for the cause of Christ. It doesn't matter to me what the cost is. It doesn't matter to me what's going on around me. I am going to live for God no matter what others do. Follow my example. Maybe say, preacher, you know, right now, it's just there are too many things happening and I have too many financial obligations and too many concerns and worries. And so, you know, I hope my kids survive my poor example. They won't. Well, I've put them in clubs. They're not going to survive your poor example. Well, you know, kids, I want you to read your Bible, but they never see you doing it. I hope my kids know how to get a hold of God. Have you set the example? I want you to go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16. Wherefore, I beseech you, I am begging with you, I'm pleading with you, be ye followers of me. I wish I were spiritual enough to stand up behind this pulpit and beg you. I am pleading with every single one of you, his church members, as your pastor. I am beseeching you, follow my Christian example. I want you to live like I have lived. I want you to love like I have loved. I want you to give like I have given. I want you to be as passionate as I have been. You had better have lived a very clean and committed and passionate and pure life to beseech people to follow your example. But you know what we do when we read these texts? We forget the context. What's the context? Go with me to verse 9, the previous verses. For I think that God has set forth us, the apostles, last, as it were, appointed to death. For we are made a spectacle unto the world, and to angels, and to men. We are fools for Christ's sake, but we are wise in Christ. We are weak, but we are strong. Ye are honorable, but we are despised. Even unto this present hour, we both hunger and thirst, and are naked and are buffeted, and have no certain dwelling place, and labor working with our own hands. Being reviled, we bless. Being persecuted, we suffer it. Being defamed, we entreat. We are made as the filth of this world, and are the offscouring of all things unto this day. And he said, I continue on. Doesn't bother me that I've been beaten and jailed and spat upon. I'm reviled. I'm not giving up. I'm not slowing down. I'm not turning back. I'm not quitting. I'm moving forward. So I'm begging you, Corinthians, says the Apostle Paul, I am begging you to follow my example. Those are heavy words. Can you say to those under your area of influence, can you say to the new Christians that are looking up to you, can you say to your children, can you say to that Sunday school class, that junior church, that club classroom, or that school class, can you say to anyone, I want you to take a look at my commitment over the past 15 years, and I want you to follow my example. That's commitment on a different level, because we can convince ourselves and justify in our own mind the reason we weren't so committed at certain times during our Christian life. But we're supposed to be able to look at those around us and as spiritual leaders say these same things. Follow me. I beseech you, children, follow me. I beseech you, young people in the institute. I beseech you, those of you in the school. I beseech you to follow me in the area of commitment. Go back with me to Philippians. Paul says, brethren, be followers together of me. Ye have us for an example. I want to say number two, we need to follow Paul in his compassion for the lost. Now, we can look at a lot of Scripture, and I won't do it tonight because you already know, you're familiar with the Scripture. Romans 10:1, Paul said, I wish myself accursed. Accursed. He said, if I could win my brother, if I could see them saved, if I get the Jews to look upon Christ and accept Him as their Messiah, I would wish myself accursed. I would be willing to spend time in hell for them. Paul said in 1 Corinthians that he was made all things to all men, that by all means he might save some. You know, you see, and you guys are familiar enough with the life of Paul that we don't have to look at every passage tonight, but you know from the moment he got saved to the moment of his death, the only thing he did was live and breathe and eat souls. His compassion and his love for reaching the lost was non-stop. I met a few people like that in my life. I remember the first time I visited Brother Sylvester Matthews when he was pastoring Open Door in Dallas. And we were in his car and we were going out sowing. And he said, oh, the guy walking down the street, there's John. John rode my bus for, he ran his own bus, ran buses for years and years and years. Knew each one of those kids individually, each one of them by name. We're out knocking on doors. William! Hey, Brother Matthews, how are you? I know I haven't been in church for a long time, but I still remember all those years you picked me up on the bus route. I've never been with a pastor where more people talked to him, recognized him, and spoke of the past and the bus route and being reached by this preacher. There's a love for the lost. Let me ask you this. Let's go back in your Christian life that God, listen, God saved you and he pulled you up out of the muck and the mire and cleansed you and cleaned you up and put your feet on a solid rock and reestablished your goings and put a new song in your mouth, even praised our God. Now let's talk about our love since our salvation for the lost. Can we look at anybody and say, the same way I love souls, follow that example? What would happen in this church if every member followed your example in the area of soul winning? Would the doors still be open? Do you see the weight of these words? This is heavy, heavy stuff. It doesn't come any heavier than this right here when it comes to spiritual leadership. Look what it says in chapter 3, verse 10. Another area that we could follow, the Apostle Paul, verse 10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. We should follow Paul in the example of his communion with God. Have you ever seen someone that walked with God and it stirred your soul to walk with God? You ever heard someone pray before and it just stirred your soul to pray? I guarantee you Paul was like that. If you read Paul's prayers in his epistles, it'll stir you to pray. Have you ever been on your knees before? How many of you have read Praying Hyde several years ago? We bought 70 or 80 of those books, and many of you, I think, got a copy. Some of you have read them. If that didn't stir your soul, how many testimonies of previous great men of God that had the testimony when we met Praying Hyde? It changed, it totally revolutionized our prayer life when we heard that man pray. I remember one testimony in that book of a preacher who said, Brother Hyde, would you pray for me? And he said, I certainly will. And they went, walked to an office and knelt down. He said, Praying Hyde never even said a word for 5 minutes. And then when he started to pray, he said, you knew you were in the presence of God Almighty. And 30 minutes later, he said, amen. He said, I thought he would take 2 minutes and pray for my ministry. Little did I know Mr. Hyde would introduce me to a lifelong spirit of prayer. Has anybody ever heard you pray and been spurred to a life of prayer? Can you take those kids in your class, those children in your house, and say, follow me as I pray, as I walk with God? My desire, what did Paul say? That I may know him. I don't know that there are more difficult words to repeat in all the Bible than those right there. Follow me as I follow Christ. Let's read one more verse and we'll be done. Verse 11 at chapter 4. Paul in prison. Not that I speak in respect to want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. He's saying this with nothing. Rats and cold and stench. I've learned to be content. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and suffer need. Paul set an example of contentment despite his circumstances. Let me ask you, can you tell others, it doesn't matter what's happening in my life, the crisis I've faced and the circumstances I've had to deal with, I'm totally content to be right in the middle of God's will. I'm content with my income, and I'm content with my mate, and I'm content with my ministry, and I'm content with my job, and I'm content with my boss, and I'm content with this city, and I'm just content with God's goodness. I'm content. Follow me in my contentedness. Paul setting the example. We could do a 10-week series on the life of Paul and him saying to us, follow me as I follow Christ, because he held himself accountable in his spiritual leaders. We got to put aside this philosophy that says, give me some leeway, not to create stress, but to create accountability. Instead of an excuse, we should be setting an example. You know what, as your pastor, I think you ought to hold me to a standard that says, Pastor, we ought to be able to follow you in every aspect of your Christian life. We ought to be able to follow your commitment. We ought to be able to follow your compassion. We ought to be able to follow your and imitate your passion. We ought to be able to imitate your godliness. We ought to be able to imitate your separation. We ought to be able to imitate your love for others. We ought to be able to imitate. Listen, that's not setting the bar too high for a preacher. That's setting an example that Paul set and that God demanded. Your kids ought to be able to look at you and say, Daddy's an example worth following, and Mama's an example worth following. And in your class, your kids, whether 20 or 115, no matter the size of your class, they ought to be able to say, there's a teacher that's worth following in her example. I want to be happy like that. I want to be pleasant like that. I want to be joyful like that. I want to be content like that. A spiritual leader will live in such a manner that he'll be able to say, don't just do what I say. Do as I do.
The Capital City Baptist Church is located at 1300 Red Street in beautiful Austin, Texas. We'd invite you to join us if you're in town. 10 a.m. Sunday mornings, 6 p.m. Sunday night, and 7:30 each and every Wednesday evening. Our phone number is 512-447-9454, but I'd like to point your attention specifically to our website, capitalcitybaptist.org. There you'll find information regarding service times, the staff, and all about Capital City Baptist Church. Additionally, you can find an archive of previously preached messages there for you to download, enjoy, and pass on to friends and family. Again, that website is capitalcitybaptist.org. That's capital with an O, citybaptist.org. Be sure and tell a friend and do your best to join us again for Pulpit Echoes, a ministry of the Capital City Baptist Church.